Ah, hammock. Check. Arnold Palmer. Check. Motorized solar shades. Yes, please. Get your home and patio spring ready with brand new custom window coverings from Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the easiest way to upgrade your home with custom window treatments. You can even stay in the hammock while Blinds.com handles the install. Just click installation at checkout and relax while we do the work for you. No matter how many window treatments you order, installation is always one low cost. Need help choosing? Talk to a Blinds.com design expert for free to help you make the best selection from classic shutters to outdoor roller shades and more. With over 25 million windows covered, you can rest easy with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. See why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings with over 40,000 five-star reviews. Shop Blinds.com and save 45% off selected products. 45% off selected products at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody listening all over North America on the free Odyssey app, on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, Sirius XM channel 158, on a smart speaker if you got one. I'm happy that you're here. I'm going to be hanging out here with you for the next 3 hours. I get started 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. I'm being joined by super producer and host Dave Shepard. And we got a men's national championship going on right now. It ain't looking too good for San Diego State. UConn is leading 49-35. 49-36. About 12 minutes left in the game. In the first half, there was a point of the game where San Diego State could not even score a single point for more than 8 minutes. We know about San Diego State and their defense, but their offense, a little hot and cold. They played a lot of games real close, and it doesn't, well, it's going to take a little bit of a miracle run to finish things up here. We open up the show talking about LSU, the ladies champions, and Angel Reese, all of the backlash that she received and got after walking away with their national championship over Iowa. As we continue on with the show, we'll keep you up to date on the men's national championship. I do want to talk to you about Odell Beckham Jr. It appears that the Baltimore Ravens have decided to offer him a contract, and I don't know what good it is with no quarterback or no certainty at the quarterback position. And then, you know what, as this game comes to a close, this isn't the only thing that's going to be wrapping up. Jim Nance is pretty much calling his last Final Four tournament. He's going to be focusing his attention purely on the NFL with Tony Romo and also calling the Masters. So giving up a little bit of his workload to spend a little bit more time with his family. You know, I guess whatever bit counts. If you want to holler at us, it's simple. It's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can also find me everywhere online, social media. That is at JR Sport Brief. At JR Sport Brief everywhere. We talked about Angel. Gave you an update on this game here. But this wasn't the only big news that made this a gigantic weekend. From a sports business side, there was a report that came out yesterday that you can't be too shocked about. That's Endeavor, which is pretty much a media / talent company. They've been gobbling up just everything from professional bull riding to even the UFC back in 2016. just a conglomerate here to make money in all entertainment fields right now. Endeavor owns the UFC. Fully outright took control of it. Endeavor is also buying the WWE, formerly the WWF. Basically, one of the biggest entertainment properties on planet Earth, the WWE, with a valuation, former valuation of about north of $6 billion, was purchased here at a little over $9 billion from Endeavor. And what makes this interesting is that they're not just buying the WWE from Vince McMahon, who's had his own issues, so I don't even want to say over the past year. He's had seemingly a litany of issues over the past several decades, whether it's steroids or sexual assault. He is selling his company here to Endeavor, and it is now basically being merged with the UFC and will be a publicly traded company. Endeavor, UFC, WWE, 51% of the WWE is going to be owned by them, and the other 49% is going to go out onto the stock market. And so Vince McMahon, who had to disappear, he just semi-retired last year because of allegations of sexual assault and against his own employees and workers. It was reported that he paid $17 million in hush money to some of the workers, and he just paid it back right prior to the sale. And so in a bad guy world where Vince McMahon walks around with a pencil-thin mustache now, his hair, which was just basically gray, is now jet black, he sat on CNBC with Ari Emanuel, who pretty much runs Endeavor, and Vince McMahon told everybody, he's like, yes, I'm back. This was the perfect time to go out here and sell. And this merger between the WWE and UFC, it's perfect timing. Take a listen to this.
Many doubted we would ever see this day, that you would ever be willing to sell a controlling stake in your company.
Right.
You are the WWE, and the WWE is you. So why?
It's the right time. It's the right time to do the right thing. And it's the next evolution of WWE. I could probably do what Ari is right now with UFC. It'd take me 10 years, you know. By the time I would grab those 10 years, you'd be 10 years ahead of you. So it's like, it makes all the sense in the world for all these synergies that we have, you know, to extract all of the value we can out of the marketplace.
Oh, okay. And I would agree with him. Brilliant business move. Brilliant business move to bring these two entities together. The WWE is a family product. They have television, hours upon hours of television that gets broadcast on a weekly basis from Fox to USA. They have the opportunity to rake in more billions than they already do. They haven't scratched the surface with the amount of money that they can go out there and generate. And now with additional cross-promotion and additional negotiating power, knowing that the UFC is right there, this is actually a brilliant business move. And since we wanted to talk about controversy to open up the show, since people wanted to talk about, you know, how bad it is for a young woman to, you know, taunt another basketball player on a court, hey, I've been looking for all the outrage just over the past several months. I did see some guy named Dana White who's going to maintain control over the UFC. Yeah, I did see that man kind of slap his wife up on, you know, New Year's Eve. That kind of came and went. I saw Dana White at the Super Bowl. I didn't want to do anything but just walk by him. Even the publicists that I know from UFC that I would typically say hello and hi to, I didn't want nothing to do with them. Knowing that Dana White is just walking around. Yeah, it's his personal business, but you can do a whole lot more than just say, oh, yeah, I had too much to drink and it's my business. Yeah, you got Vince McMahon here on the other side, who also has an entertaining product. This man just paid back $17 million in hush money that he paid out of the company's account? Where's the this is what I'm saying about selective outrage. Nobody cares. Things have to be all up in your face. It has to be in a form of, I don't know, a black woman for people to pitch a fit. Where's the fit? There's more controversy about what took place yesterday in a national championship game, in a basketball game, than anything that we've heard about Dana White after New Year's. Or with Vince McMahon. Even with all of the articles, it's and the news surrounding Vince McMahon and him stepping down and then him returning to sell the company. And now he gets a reward. He gets to sell the company. He talks about how this is one of the biggest moments of his life. And that, oh, yeah, he's not a perfect man, but he's made his mistakes. But he's you know, he's paid the price for them and moved on. No outrage there. There's no, I didn't check. I didn't see it. I didn't see Dave Portnoy calling Dana White a classless piece of you-know-what. I didn't see that. I didn't see anybody saying that about Vince McMahon when he's paying back $18 million, $17.5 million in hush money. And so from a business perspective, absolutely genius. They're going to make money, tons of it. They're going to be rolling in money. And the WWE, which has done nothing but explode really since turning public and moving into new media deals, the WWE has been able to take advantage of social media and digital streaming. They got their hands in every pot. Don't wait too long. We know Brock Lesnar for years has been back and forth, been able to straddle the lines of the UFC and being a heavyweight champion, being a legitimate amateur wrestler, and then being one of the most popular box office WWE stars in scripted content. Don't be surprised if you blink your eyes and the next thing you know, you see Conor McGregor in the WWE for a program. Bad Bunny, the biggest artist on earth, happen to be at WrestleMania and is involved. So the WWE is swimming in money and swimming in cash. But there's still a little bit of a dirty feeling when you look at all of the characters involved, whether it be Dana White, whether it be Vince McMahon, and everybody's entitled to change, right? Everybody's entitled to go out and now be at a better person. But the scrutiny, the public scrutiny, doesn't add up when you look at the people at the top of the totem pole. I guess we're just so resigned to people at the top being complete you-know-whats that we just shrug our shoulders. And so if we got to browbeat and beat anybody down, you beat on somebody like Angel Reese. Easy target. 20, 21-year-old young lady, not a billionaire. Easy to just bash her on Twitter than, and I guess Vince McMahon, who's just swimming in cash. Or Dana White. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Paul is here from Rhode Island. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Paul?
Thank you, JR. Thank you, Shep. Thank you, Marco. Listen, they're two professionals, girls, getting the hype of the national media. All she did, one before the other, took Seth Curry, a message to the floor. Okay, so that's all it was, and everybody's making this big thing. If you were in their situation at that time, that minute, that second, you would do the same. It's all about competition.
We don't know that, Paul. You can't say that. Here's the deal. There's not a one-size-fits-all when it comes to celebrations. There really isn't. Okay? We have seen folks completely walk off a court. We've seen people hug. We've seen congratulations. We've seen people yelling. There is not one way. In an ideal world, everybody would just be kumbaya. But that's not how it is. It's not. Okay? Am I here for fisticuffs and all that other stuff at the end of the game? No, I'm not. But, yeah, it'd be nice if everybody shook hands. But we've come to a world that's not the way it is. And if you got an issue with sportsmanship, teach your kids that. Okay? There's so much more that your kids can learn via the influence that you can have on them versus what they can get from a screen or a box. How are you going to regulate that? I think that's more important. So I'm not going to say, oh, well, what would anybody do? What would you do? Or, you do the same thing. Nobody knows their relationship. Nobody knows what was said in that game. Nobody knows what was said in past or prior games where Angel Reese could have been at Maryland and going back and forth with Caitlin Clark. Nobody knows. She gave a blanket statement and said, hey, I didn't appreciate, you know, what she was doing earlier on in the tournament. She said she was waiting on her. And that's what she did.
Can I ask you a question, JR?
You certainly can.
So if I'm being – I just – first off – I want to thank you for always covering sports in a way where you never want to be bigger than the story. You want to do the topic justice, and you want to welcome in other opinions, and you never want to be bigger than said story. And you never want to be about your brand. You just want to do sports talk the right way. I was hurt and offended by a 46-year-old white man and a 50-something who looks 70 call a 20-year-old young African-American woman a classless piece of you-know-what and an effing idiot. Like, I am mortified that our industry has these two people as one of the most influential people in our business, and all they did yesterday was continue to get notoriety and publicity that should be going to people that aren't about interrogating and tearing people and disparaging people and deriding people, especially a 20-year-old woman who just set the record in the NCAA tournament for the most double-doubles, who is lottery bound whenever she goes to the WNBA, an individual that from all records I can see hasn't had the easiest of times in her childhood and has overcome everything and every obstacle in her life. And she has been an incredible ambassador to the state of Louisiana, and she has been one of the best basketball players in the entire country. And I didn't see one negative thing they said. Keith, and I look back at this, JR. Keith or and Portnoy, whatever he wants, Mr. President, whatever he wants to call himself. Did they say one thing about Grayson Allen? Because what Grayson, and I'm not trying to make this like a hit job against Grayson Allen, but what he did in college was 10, 20, 50 times worse than anything that Angel Reese did. Grayson Allen could have permanently injured a student athlete who would have never gotten a chance to play in the NBA because of his dirty play. I am disgusted that they would go to the route they did to insult a 20-year-old, knowing she still has room for growth, and she played her ass off. And was it the best decision she made at the end of the game? Of course not. No one's going to say she handled herself with the utmost class, neither did Caitlin Clark. But you know what? She'll learn. She'll grow. The bottom line is, my takeaway is, she had an incredible tournament. I'm not going to judge her by 10 seconds of bad judgment. And for these two individuals to try to hijack this and build their brands at the expense of completely cutting down a 20-year-old, this is an embarrassment for our industry. And I am sick and disgusted by it.
Yeah, well, that's unfortunately the world that we live in and have lived in. It's selective outrage. That's it. That's why, to a certain degree, I don't give them the time of day, or try not to in excess. You know, to say that she is a classless you-know-what, man, there are plenty of instances. Are you going to say that to an NFL player who does the same thing? No. There's selective outrage for no reason, because it's not a matter of being classless for a lot of these folks who build and make money online. It's not about class. They have no guts. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal responded. I don't agree with the way Shaq responded. He told Dave Portnoy, he said your mother. Okay, all right, well, that's one way to do it. I don't necessarily think it's the right way. How about we do this? Put Portnoy in front of Shaq and tell him to tell Shaq that to his face. You know, that's the thing. people are so nasty and willing to be so nasty. I mentioned this last week, and I don't remember what context. I said there's so many amazing things that you can do, that people can do, utilizing social media, utilizing the internet. Amazing things. There's also so many nasty things that people can do. We've seen this in multiple industries, and it's not just exclusive to sports, that people have utilized the ability to communicate en masse to people with the hit or click or tap of a phone, that the world has just completely changed and will continue to change. And when you have people who have platforms and don't have a regard for other human beings, those are the worst of people. You know, I have been in a room and I couldn't stomach it anymore to even be in a space of a Portnoy, to give him the time of day, or a Vince McMahon. You have people who will crap. Here's a problem. A lot of people are stupid. A lot of people are followers. A lot of people are ignorant. A lot of people just have a combination of it all. A lot of people aren't willing to step into realities and can only draw conclusions out of their minds, which are just trapped in a box. That's the world we live in. And unfortunately, it's a much larger issue than sports. And it's the most that anybody can do is try to provide balance. And there have been a lot of people who have stuck up for Angel Reese, and because they are people, folks getting upset at heart, whether they realize it or not subconsciously. You know, there's a lot of it that goes beyond, oh, well, she didn't display good sportsmanship. I think that's a legitimate debate. But a lot of the extra that's come with it, the name calling, et cetera, you saying that about some of these other people? Come on. We had people call me up last year about Deshaun Watson. We live in a wild world where just morals and treating people like people have gone out of the window. And I'm not talking about just what happens in between the lines of a game, but we have plenty of evidence for that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Things are getting a little bit closer here in the national championship game between San Diego and UConn. I'll give you an update on the other side of the break. We'll talk about Jim Nance. This is also basically coming to an end for him here at March Madness. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller, but a long-time listener. So first and foremost, I want to say I love your show. I enjoy it. It helps me get home at night when I'm taking a late shift at my job.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
A little more than 2 minutes left here in the national championship game on the men's side between UConn and San Diego State. This championship game is taking place at NRG Stadium down in Houston, Texas. UConn has the ball, trying to keep this lead and maintain this win and pick up another national championship. Sonogo at the free throw line and helps extend the lead 68-55, trying to keep San Diego State at bay. And so we're minutes away from this game being curtains, unless there's some type of miraculous comeback from San Diego State. It looks like we might go down to a free throw game and a foul game as San Diego State is trying to hold on. We also know that this is pretty much going to be it in curtains for Jim Nance. Jim Nance, 63 years old, probably right now the premier sports broadcaster in the country now that Bob Costas has also slowed down and still pops up from time to time. This is Jim Nance's 37th time calling the March Madness tournament. That is 354 games, In addition to his work in March Madness, Jim Nantz has also covered 6 Super Bowls. He has another Super Bowl upcoming with Tony Romo. This is going to be his 38th Masters this week. So Jim Nantz is going to finish up in Houston, Texas tonight with the tournament. He's going to hop on what I'm sure will be a very simple jet, and he's going to make his way here to Georgia for his 38th Masters. He's been calling the Masters since 1986 when Jack Nicklaus went out there and won his 6th. Jim Nantz basically said what a lot of people say when they want to retire. Ask Tom Brady. I need to go home and spend more time with my family. Jim Nantz has a daughter who's getting married. I will assume she's in her 20s. I'm going to guess. But then he also has a 9 and a 7-year-old. And so Jim Nantz at 63 wants to be at home to spend more time with his kids. And he is cutting down his schedule to now only doing the NFL and golf. Jim Nantz said it himself. I am now only doing 40 weeks a year. 40 weeks a year on the road. Okay. All right. I mean, I guess the summertime will just be just him and the kids. I have no idea. That's his own personal life. But on the way out the door, well, typically it's actually tonight. Over the weekend, as we went towards the Final Four, Jim Nantz sat down on the set with the crew and Charles Barkley and Clark Kellogg and Kenny Smith, and he talked about it pretty much being a wrap for him and just talking about his last Final Four and needing to go home and be with the kids. This is what Jim Nantz said.
This gives me a chance to catch my breath, and my kids need me more at home, and I need to be more at home than I need to call another NCAA tournament. It is time someone else get a chance to experience this incredible celebration from the seat that I've had. I've always wanted the fan to feel like they had a seat at the table. It was as simple as that.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, saying that, yeah, it's time for me to go. Let somebody else to do it. I don't need to be here. And the guy who will do it is also one of the best broadcasters in the world of sports, also calls NFL games, and is a pleasure to listen to. Ian Eagle is going to be taking over for Jim Nantz in March Madness in 2024. And I don't feel a step will be missed, because at this point, Ian Eagle is also a familiar voice. And so I guess to a lot of people, he's also a familiar face, very recognizable. And he's also a good damn human being, as far as I know from my own interaction. So congratulations to Jim Nantz. I don't know if 40 weeks on the road a year is scaling back, but what do I know? I guess Jim Nantz is going to be spending time with his folks. This game, yes, Shep, it's about to be curtains, man. They don't how many? No, there's no miraculous threes. There's no fouls. We're just buying time here.
They're just JR. I mean, I can't believe this team lost 4-6 this year. But ever since that loss versus Creighton, last 2 months, they have one loss. They've been a completely different team, and that loss was by 2 to Marquette, which a lot of people felt like would have gone a lot further in the tournament, when usually we're accustomed to seeing better results from Shaka. And it's a party in stores, and JR, we're talking 5 national titles in 25 years. No one else has more than 3. UConn, you can make a legitimate argument, now falls into the conversation of one of the greatest college basketball programs in the history of sports.
I think they've been there in college basketball side. That streak that they went on to begin the year is even longer than that. I believe it was maybe 6 out of 8 games that they lost, or they took a whole lot of L's, but they've certainly picked it up here.
Started 14 straight, though. That was the team that we felt like was going to be there all season, so they dropped off. And we felt
they had a big drop off around coming out of the holidays, you know. But that's like most people. You get to the holiday season and, you know, you get a little sloppy there.
They turned it on, though.
They did. They turned it on big time. And we're going to have plenty of time to get into the post of whatever this looks like. How many callers are we going to get from San Diego? We're going to get a decent amount, right?
You know what? I hope we do, because Nobody saw San Diego State getting to an NCAA championship game. You know, Darion Trammell, their star player, is 5'10", and that's generous. So they had an amazing season, and they deserve all the love in the world. And they're not going to get back there for a long time. It took them half a century to get to this point. It's going to be a long time since they get back. UConn's here to stay, though.
UConn fans are starting to celebrate and jump up and down. They got the camera there in Storrs, Connecticut. Yeah, they're celebrating. Yeah, the only thing bringing San Diego State back in this game is Kawhi Leonard, and we know he ain't there. So we'll see what it looks like in the end. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Yep, this championship game, about to be a wrap. Jim Nance, about to be a wrap. I want to tell you about some of the female college players we saw yesterday. With all the conversation about Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, people aren't talking about their futures. They aren't going anywhere. And I think there may be a reason for them to try to stick around for as long as possible. I'll tell you, explain on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, my God, JR, I love your show, Mr. Positive. God, I love your show. I mean, I'm glad you're defending LeBron. God, JR, I love you. You are a man that is reasonable, knows what he's talking about.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
Well, that was a lot. Thank you. I love you, too, though. It is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. We got a national champion on the men's side. It's a wrap. It's curtains. It's official. UConn beats San Diego State. The final score, 76-59. This is UConn's fifth national championship. You might recall they picked up three under Jim Calhoun. They picked up another under Kevin Ollie. They got this last one right now tonight with head coach Dan Hurley leading the way. This is their first title since Kevin Ollie helped them. Or led them in 2014. They have been smacking up teams, beating them by a damn good average. Heading into tonight, about 22 points UConn has been dominating. And tonight they outscored them, and they stomped them out as well, and they got going early. There was really, I don't want to say no chance. UConn led by 17 here at one point, and it didn't feel that there was any real threat from San Diego State. I mean, I want you to take a listen to some of these plays. All of the games took place here, including tonight's championship on Westwood One. Jordan Hawkins, who was able to go out and finish tonight's game with 16 points, he got things going early in the first half. Take a listen to this three.
Hawkins will try a three on the right wing, and he'll hit it. Being pushed back by the defense, Hawkins a fadeaway three, and UConn with a 26-14 lead.
And then they just kept bombs in away. Tristan Newton finished tonight with 19 points. He was bombs away from three as well. This took place not too long after that.
Trammell, three on the left wing. Off to the right side, no good. Rebound into the hands of Andre Jackson Jr. Jackson looks to push, leaving it behind for Newton. Deep three on the right wing. Got it! Newton with a three! 33-17! The Huskies' largest lead! Coming up on four to play in the first.
Yeah, that's just the first half. In the second half, they didn't do anything but keep pouring it on. Jordan Hawkins dropping threes. Tristan Newton dropping threes. What about Joey Calcaterra? He was dropping threes in the second half.
Klingon, top of the key. Bumped, handoff, Calcaterra, three, top of the key. Got it. Calcaterra's hit two. They've both been at huge moments in this game. The lead back to 15, 56-41.
Good for that young man. Calcaterra, bombs away. Good for him. Tristan Newton, he kept pouring it on in the second half as well. except for this wasn't a three. Just taking it straight to the hole.
Newton dribbling near the timeline, under 3 minutes to play. 10-point UConn lead. Newton with five to shoot. Around the screen from Sanogo, drives right side of the lane, right into Mensah, where he lays it up and in. Really aggressive take by Newton, and he's rewarded with two, 67-55.
And just a few seconds ago, it was curtains for San Diego State. UConn finishing things up, 76-59. Here's the final score.
Rebound to Hurley for UConn, and how fitting. The coach's son is going to dribble out his dad's championship. 76-59. Every dog has his day, and this day belongs to the Huskies. UConn has its fifth national championship in school history. 76-59, UConn, men's basketball national champions.
Yeah, his son Andrew Hurley was the one who had the ball. You know, at the end of the game, you throw everybody out there onto the court that wouldn't necessarily play, and Andrew Hurley was the one who just ceremoniously dribbled the ball out to call things a wrap. And UConn just, man, they put the clamps on everybody that they faced here throughout this tournament. And San Diego State is who they defeated in the championship, 76-59. But if you think about their journey here to the Final Four, this past Saturday, beating Miami, the Canes, 72-59, smashed them. Gonzaga, 82-54. You thought about all the foul trouble. Drew Timmy, is he was sitting on the bench. They got smashed. Let's think about Arkansas, 88-65. We can even go further back. St. Mary's, smashed, 70-55. They opened things up against, you might remember this name. He's now a new head coach. This is how much time flies. You know, Mr. Rick Pitino is now at St. John's. Opened up this tournament, beating Iona, 87-63. And so UConn, maybe not so much known for their defense, not ranked preseason heading into this year. Their head coach, Coach Hurley, he spoke to the media as well. He spoke to CBS, and he's like, oh, yeah, I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, and this has not been easy to get here. Take a listen.
Well, they buried us before the season, and then they buried us at the midpoint because we weren't ranked going into the year, so we had the chip on our shoulder. And, you know, we knew the level that we could play at, even through those dark times. And when you have a guy like Andre Jackson, who's the captain of your team, and an Adama Sanogo, you know, it's easy to get back on track.
Yeah, and you know by now, you've heard it from myself and Shep and Marco, this is UConn's fifth national championship. And in a world, a basketball world, where parity isn't so much, well, there's more parity now. And we've seen a lot of the older guard disappear because they don't want to deal with NIL and they don't want to hear about teams potentially buying players. The playing field is level. And UConn has been around for a very, very long time. And I don't think things are necessarily going to slow down. And then you talk about Sanogo, the big man, leading the way. He finished the game with 17 points and 10 rebounds. And a lot of this, through all of the scores that I just named you, these were defensive efforts. They were just smashing folks. They had 8 steals and 6 blocks tonight. UConn did. They held San Diego State to 32% shooting from the field. And there's going to be a lot of talk about UConn, but congratulations to San Diego State as well. There was no expectation for them to be here. We talked even earlier on in the tournament how it was going to take a whole hell of a lot for them to get this far. I didn't expect them to go this far, but they did. And they competed for a championship. It took a buzzer beater for them to get here, but they got here. And so nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be worried about. You know, as I sit here in the studio now, Coach Hurley is standing up on the stage. He is got his hat backwards. I know he's ready to cut the nets. He's awaiting his national championship. I know the next thing that they're going to do is play that god-awful song that I absolutely cannot stand, One Shining Moment, and then we're going to get one of the most highly edited pieces of tournament recap that you can ever remember. Hey, it's Shep, it's over. What do we do now? It's just done. It's finished.
You know what? I think a lot of people had Duke at the beginning of this tournament, JR. The way they were playing in the ACC and how they made Virginia. This was before Furman, obviously, and they held them to 49 points in the ACC title game. But, JR, I can't think of a team that was this dominant in all six games. Like, they won every single game by at least 13 points. I can't recall the last time that was done. And none of these guys, JR, none of them are lottery picks. It's an incredible coaching job by Dan Hurley.
Yeah, I don't know. Sonogo going to go play somewhere. It may be overseas in Europe or whatever the case might be. But he's a big dude, and he was out there. He's been bullying folks and then also helping to facilitate with the basketball as well. And so UConn now with its fifth national championship, they got the same amount of titles as Duke. I mean, we talked about earlier in the show, and unfortunately it's not a positive reason. Well, maybe it is. Bobby Knight, we know he was in the hospital over the weekend. He's now been released. Him helping Indiana win three championships. Indiana has five total. Duke has five total. North Carolina has six. Kentucky has eight. You could thank Coach Wooden for UCLA and their 11 titles. But UConn is right there. And as you just said, Shep, they can go ahead and they can thank their head coach, Dan Hurley, for leading the way. It's Jim Nance. This is also a big moment for Jim Nance. He's standing up there, and he's conducting what will be his last interview here at a championship. So a lot of emotions involved. I didn't see too many San Diego State fans and their emotions. CBS has done a good job here showcasing UConn, and San Diego State is going to get a lot of love. It was only a couple of seasons ago where things were pretty much stopped due to COVID, and San Diego State looked like they were on their way. I don't think the Aztecs are necessarily going anywhere in the near future as well as a program with Coach Dutcher. Wow. Congratulations to UConn. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. They've handed over the trophy, the lifting trophy, and we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this national championship, take a look at the game, hear from some of the players as well as that audio rolls in. Congratulations to UConn. March Madness is done. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This podcast is brought to you by the Showtime original series, Yellow Jackets. For those of us who didn't peak in high school, those teenage years were pretty angsty. But nobody had it worse than the Wiskeyoc High Yellow Jackets girls soccer team of 1996. Yellow Jackets, the Emmy-nominated phenomenon that has us all asking, what really happened out there and what wouldn't you do to stay alive, is back for its much-anticipated second season. The team survived a plane crash and a summer stranded in the woods, but winter bites and those girls are hungry. Plus, there might be a dark force in the wilderness compelling them to do some unsavory things. TBD. Meanwhile, 25 years later, the surviving adult Yellow Jackets are grappling with their past while getting caught up in kidnappings, cults, murders, and parenting moody teenagers. Melanie Lynskey and Tawny Cypress star with Christina Ricci and Juliette Lewis. The internet is obsessed, and Rotten Tomatoes declared it 100% fresh. So if you haven't watched Yellow Jackets, it's time. New episodes streaming now only on Showtime. And now stream Showtime on Paramount Plus.
Odyssey's I'm Listening is our commitment to more mental health conversations. Dr. Christine Moutier of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention talks about the daily change of emotions and mental wellness.
Yeah, mental health and emotions are extremely dynamic, meaning they change. That's the most remarkable thing, to start to see crisis moments become less and less intense or less frequent.
Talk saves lives. For more mental health conversations, visit imlistening.org.